Jeff, what's the latest? I know you're reporting on Chris Hogan. The team has a desire to get a contract extension done. Are the two sides close?
No, it's so early in the process that it would be hard to say that it's close. They did have a good in-person meeting last week. So I think that kick-started the discussion process. And again, I think these could be difficult discussions for the two sides to have, just because the wide receiver market again sort of exploded over the offseason. When you got guys, number two receivers, unproven number two receivers getting $8 million annually, you got the Patriots who at the same time weren't even willing to go 2 for 12 with Danny Amendola. Granted, he's not a number two anymore, but you know, you got one side that has a low value at that position, another side that knows if they push it all the way to March that, you know, they could potentially get a life-altering type of contract for Chris Hogan. So it's going to be tough. And you know what? You're also in a situation here with the unforeseen circumstance. You got Julian Edelman missing the first month of the season. So let's say the player comes in high, and I'm not sure it's gotten to this point yet, but let's say the player comes in high, wants a high number if he wants to take a deal before the start of the season, the team could say, you know what, you got a perfect chance to come out and prove that you're worth more than a guy like Julian Edelman, because you're going to be Julian Edelman for the first month of the season, so you have a chance to go out and earn it. You know, the other side that is difficult for Hogan, he's about to turn 31, and you know, does he still get the same $8 million average annual type of label that a number two receiver gets on the wrong side of 30?
Let me turn my mic on. That would help.
That's good. Yeah, it's good.
Is there anyone else, Jeff, that you see that's a free agent that the Patriots might be interested in holding talks with? And the guy I want to ask you about specifically is Trent Brown, who by a lot of accounts has been one of the best players anywhere on the roster during this training camp. And that's a guy who is also heading into his free agent year after the season.
Yeah, he's a difficult one because they are pretty deep at that position in the sense that Isaiah Wynn was just their first round pick. And then you've got Marcus Cannon. And, you know, I still think Marcus Cannon is going to have to win back his starting job when he's healthy enough to play, because LaAdrian Waddle and Isaiah Wynn are rotating at that spot. Rotations on the offensive line don't usually happen unless there's a job up for grabs. So I'm just trying to read between the lines there. But, you know, you're not going to move on from a guy like Marcus Cannon right now with the cap implications. I can talk. So that would mean after the season, you theoretically have Marcus Cannon as your right tackle and Isaiah Wynn as your left tackle. But if Trent Brown plays so well, or you know, something happens with Cannon long term, you know, maybe the injuries pop up again and you want to keep Wynn on the right side. So I think there's so much to still be determined that might be a tricky one as well. I mean, the two big names still, Trey Flowers, Shaq Mason. Like the Patriots do with every single impending free agent, I would guarantee they are having conversations with those two as well. I don't know how far along they would be.
We're talking with Jeff Howe of The Athletic here on Patriots Preview. I asked Paul Perillo this earlier, and maybe you can shed some light on it. What's the deal with Marcus Cannon?
All I have been told, I haven't been told the specifics of the injury. I mean, obviously, it's a leg, it's somewhere in that leg. But he's supposed to be back by the regular season, if not sooner than that. That's the best I can do for you. But again, you know, I look at the way that they moved Isaiah Wynn to right tackle this week, the first time that we've seen him play anywhere other than left guard, which was minicamp, left tackle, the first 2 weeks of training camp, and rotating with LaAdrian Waddle, who did a nice job last year. But I think, you know, I think it was last week we were just talking about the potential of, all right, well, what happens if Waddle goes down like he did several times last year? Does that mean they're going to move Brown to right tackle and Wynn to left tackle? But I think that plan has sort of changed, moving Wynn to the right side. It reminds me a little bit of Brian Stork and David Andrews a couple years ago, where you didn't know who was going to win, but that was the only rotation on a daily basis, so there was a job up for grabs. Whereas right now, Waddle has been starting the periods, and then Wynn would come in with the rest of the starters to finish the period, and then there were occasions when Wynn would take the second team reps as well. So is it a case where they're just trying to get him well-versed on the right side? Maybe. But again, I think this is a best man wins type of scenario. And if it is your first-round pick who wins that job and then Cannon comes back, what do you do there? I mean, if Wynn is playing as well as we think that he's capable of, you know, it might be tough. But look, I'll say it this way. If Marcus Cannon is your starting right tackle in week one, it's because he earned it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then if Cannon can't go, and you have Wynn at right tackle, I think you can also make a case that that's putting your five best linemen that you, that are available to you out there in that alignment. On the other side of the ball, I think a guy who flashed last week, Jeff, in the first preseason game was Juwan Bentley. And I know he's been getting some run with the ones. What do you make of him, and how do you think the Patriots feel about him at this point in camp?
They love him. Really impressed by him. They have been really the whole way. It was just, you know, I kept hearing his name come up the first couple weeks of camp. And it was hard to see why. Not anything against Bentley. It was just the linebacker position. Until you have some live contact out there, especially with no teams coming in, you just don't know how good those guys really are. And then what you saw last week, not only was he doing it against the run, his coverage ability was really good, too. I mean, he was thrown at twice, allowed two completions, but he made the stop before the sticks each time. One of those was negated by the Derek Rivers roughing penalty, but he's doing similar stuff in coverage this week in practice. I mean, he had one day when he got beaten by a Brady to White wheel route, but I mean, what linebacker isn't these days? But, you know, I'm not going to tell you the kid's going to come in and cover like Miles Jack right off the bat, but he seems ahead of the curve in terms of where a rookie linebacker is supposed to be, especially a fifth rounder. You always heard the good things. We've seen it come to fruition on the field the last week.
We're talking with Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Jeff, defensively, we were talking earlier about the secondary. Is it a battle for who plays opposite Stephon Gilmore? Is it just a matter of who starts when you're talking about Eric Rowe or Jason McCourty, or is Jason McCourty fighting to be on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good and interesting question because I don't think there's any way they part with Rowe. But if McCourty, and I think, again, I think it's closer than it's been portrayed by a lot of people. You know, McCourty's been around the ball. He just hasn't had as many chances to practice, which is one of the mysteries still of camp. You know, he didn't play last week, which was weird. He didn't play at all in team drills in any of the five or six practices we watched back in the spring and early summer. So what's the situation there? You know, why isn't he on the field as much? But, again, when he's been out there, I think he's been competitive. I think he is a step behind Rowe, but I don't think it's insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination. And then, you know, the thing that he doesn't really have going for him. Now, again, let's say Duke Dawson in this minor injury that he had earlier this week turns into a couple weeks or something like that. And, you know, John Jones, you know, let's say he doesn't progress as quickly as they'd like him to. You know, who's your slot corner going to be? Well, then it's probably Rowe. And then who do you put on the outside in these three corner nickels? McCourty is still, in my opinion, your best bet. The problem is, I think you got to factor in the last couple of years where the Patriots have had some good young cornerbacks come in, weren't able to make the active roster. They tried to sneak them onto the practice squad, and they got claimed by other teams. So now you're getting a little bit older in that position. Not that it's a problem right now, but if you're Jason McCourty and you can't win that number two job, you know, are the Patriots going to keep him for depth purposes at the expense of a J.C. Jackson, Keon Cross, and
Ryan Lewis?
Yeah, Ryan Lewis, another one. You know, Jamal Wiltz has exceeded expectations. I still think he's, you know, behind the rest of the group. But you got some young, talented corners, and I don't know how willing the Patriots will be to part with multiple ones.
I want to ask you about another injury situation here, Jeff. Any reason for concern on Rex Burkhead?
I can't find any answers on that one. So when he went down, he didn't even go down, really. He had a full practice last Tuesday, so 9 days ago. And then Wednesday, he was on the rehab field. So, okay, he's out there, he's running, he's doing his thing. Typical type of protocol for a guy who has some sort of nagging minor injury. But this week, we haven't seen him at all. So what does that mean? Now, I've been told, you know, again, we were talking about Burkhead last week. This is a guy who has a potential to become a household name across the NFL this season. I think they kind of want to give him, you know, not the Gronk rules, but, you know, maybe a step behind that. And, hey, you know what? If there's a nagging situation, don't let it linger. You're comfortable enough with him and his progress in the offense to this point. Let it heal. If the treatment, you know, like Matthew Slater, if the treatment on the inside is more valuable than the conditioning on the outside, you know, don't waste him on the outside. Just get whatever it is right.
And just a follow-up to that, another offensive injury, Philip Dorsett, who went down on Tuesday. Did the Patriots dodge a bullet there?
Yeah, it sounds like it. So he went down, and it was tough to see what happened, but he ended up the grass gave out underneath his foot. It was a scare at the beginning, thought it was something a whole lot more serious with the leg. Ultimately, he's okay. From what I understand, he was good enough to practice yesterday, and I think we should see him tonight.
All right, I don't know if Jeff Howe has published a 53-man roster prediction. Have you done that
yet?
Not yet.
No.
Okay, you haven't succumbed to that yet like everyone else. If you were to put one together right now, is Eric Decker on it?
Oh man! If the cuts were 10 minutes from now, yes. 2 weeks from now, I'm still not sure. I mean, right now, I think it's Hogan, Dorsett.
I'm going to take that as a no. Unsures get no's at this time of year.
Yeah, look.
I don't know. It's a no.
This guy was brought in on a tryout basis.
Yes,
$75,000 signing bonus indicates exactly that.
Doesn't make them wrong to do it. I'm fully on board with them bringing him in.
Absolutely. It's certainly good to explore that option. Brady has put in a ton of time. We saw Brady out there throwing passes to him like 20, 30 minutes ago on the field. Brady's never out there before a game, especially a preseason game. So, again, Brady is putting in the work. Decker has had some not-so-great moments out there. I mean, he ran the wrong route on a 3-on-3 rep the first one of the day just 2 days ago. Obviously, the drops and the side sessions aren't great, but you know that's something that has sort of followed him throughout his career. They're trying to get him right. And you know what? 2 weeks is still, I think, plenty of time for a veteran like that. So, again, if the cuts were tonight, I would say, yes, he'd be safe. I can't tell you what's going to happen 2 weeks from now because I really think from 3 to 9 or however many receivers are left, it's almost even.
The place to find Jeff's coverage of the Patriots is The Athletic and on Twitter at Jeff P. Howe. And he's got a book coming out with Scott Zolak. Make sure you hit the pre-order button on Amazon for that one, Jeff.
Appreciate it.
I got my copy the other day. I got an advanced copy. I know a guy.
Oh, he hooked you up?
Yeah, I know a guy. All right, Jeff, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.